Hello and welcome to Water to Wine, the podcast where we talk about what it means to be a Catholic man in this world and how we can live that better in this day and age. My name is Matt Duncan, and with me I have Tony and Fernando, and I'm going to let them take it away.
Hey guys, I'm Tony Giratano, live in Dallas, Texas.
My name is Fernando Salcedo, also live here in Dallas.
We're going to talk a little bit tonight about Catholic masculinity and what it kind of means to us. So what is it in a day where everything going on in the world, we've got, society tells us that genders are fluid and that there's no real difference between men and women. Yeah. And women's rights has become such a thing, yet somehow gender is fluid. It seems a little ironic.
Yeah, it doesn't really...
So what do we think about that, and how does kind of the Catholic Church, tell us to think about it?
Yeah, man, for starters, you look at just, my experience at college, is just you go to college, you go on campus, and I feel like I feel like it's so hard just to speak, just to kind of speak in front of people, feeling like you're gonna offend somebody, toxic masculinity all over, you're mansplaining all over me, it's kind of I feel like it's very touchy nowadays, and I feel like I'm kind of suppressed, in some ways, where have we come to, to where we felt like back in kind of roles are kind of not switching, but you have to be very careful with, I guess, how you say things nowadays, because you don't know who you're going to offend or what's politically correct. And I think it's just as much as equality, I think if anything, it's very much separating us and just causing this division and confusing us. That's why you kind of brought up this gender fluid thing. And I think it's so true. People are confused as to who are we, what does it mean to be a woman? What does it mean to be a man? And so.
I think you make a good point too, because, with equality, what's funny about it is we've got so many people fighting for equality, but what does it do to the people once we keep fighting for it? And then they have to find a target of who to fight with. Right. We find a lot of disenfranchised people, not in a sense of maybe what it was in the past with slavery and things like that, that happened in this country, but in a sense of now it's almost, like you said earlier, politically incorrect to be a Christian, to be, yeah, to speak out for your beliefs, to tell someone, hey, I don't agree with that, but that doesn't mean that I don't think you have the right to believe that. I'm going to tell you what I believe and what I know to be right, but that doesn't mean I don't love you as a human being.
Exactly, dude.
I've had that conversation with people in the past of, I actually talked to a woman one time of, I met her out at a bar with a buddy. We were having a beer and just having a good time on a Friday night. And she had, the conversation somehow led to, her explaining she had 3 abortions. And it was one of these things where you want to say the right thing. I don't want to tell her, well, hey, you're not going to ever do that again, right?
Yeah.
No, I want to hear in her voice, at least in a sense of, I have a sense of remorse. At least I know the gravity of what happened. And as we kept talking, one, I felt great that I was at least giving her the sense of being comfortable to talk to me about that. Yeah. We just met. Mm-hmm. So I felt great about that. But number two, when I let her kind of finish the story about it and how those happened, and the fact that she has a daughter now and feels great about that, she actually told me, I said, do you know what my response is based on the fact that you tell me you've had 3 abortions? She said, is it that they were wrong? I said, no, my response is, I still love you as a human being. I love you as my sister and, in God's eyes. And I hope that you have at least kind of come to your senses of kind of the gravity of it. And then I explained to her, as I've learned over the years, a lot of people, whenever they have a death of a newborn or of an abortion, and they realize later on what happened, it really creates a sense of closure to, name the unborn child that was either killed or died of a miscarriage, something like that. So I think in that sense, for us, masculinity, at least in that, is to be the man that we're supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
It's to be men. Mm-hmm. It's not toxic masculinity of just to, I think we all heard about the Gillette commercial, and that really brought up a lot at least in our group, in our Regnum Christi group that we speak on, of kind of our thoughts of why are we apologizing for, yes, there are select few who do these things that are wrong. That's not every man out there.
Yeah, it doesn't and that, represent like who we are.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's you know, there are races out there who've done things to other races, but that doesn't mean every person of that race has done these things.
Yeah.
It does mean we want to learn from those things, but painting a broad spectrum of we're going to apologize for men and this it seemed like it was over and above maybe what they were trying to do. And there's some people who thought it was great. I know a lot of us are on the side of it really just kind of created more derision and more division between men and women at this point.
Yeah, there was some good stuff in there, but like you said, like yeah, that, like you, there's like what you said, it's just a broad, you know, stroke.
Yeah.
You miss over like little things here and there. That's really like you don't really see if you don't pay attention, you know. And it's funny that you mentioned, like, I think it's so, dude, it's so, women, if you see it, like, women are craving these, like, just men, you know.
Yeah.
Like, dude, where are they at, you know? And it's kind of like, I have a friend right now, like, she was telling me about her relationship right now, and dude, like, it's crazy just to see her go through this, like, be kind of stuck in this situation where she feels like she's, like has to be in the relationship just because of this, like the feeling of being alone is scarier than, you know, than to just, you know, suffer through this, you know, relationship. And,
right.
And it's crazy that it's getting more and more rare to find guys that are really like wanting like a strong foundation of their identity, you know, of who they are and what it means to be a man. And we keep saying that, but like, I don't know, maybe we can go a little deeper into like what it actually means and like or like your perspective on.
Yeah, so one thing I was thinking about while you were speaking was it's ironic how, you know, an ad like the Gillette commercial would tell us, you know, it paints something like that in a broad spectrum, right? Whereas any other thing we do in the world right now, if we paint a whole group of people,
yeah.
If we paint a whole race of people, if we paint a whole anything and say that everyone that's in there that does that, even if it's a stereotype, right? So I'm Italian-American. You can think of any kind of stereotype that comes with that. We're loud. We're
talk with your hands.
Huge Catholic family. Yeah, we always talk with our hands, which I do. But these can be stereotypes,
yeah,
right? And
sure,
and
yeah.
Someone takes that the wrong way, and it's sometimes for a good reason can be, you know, why was that said? But in a situation of a Gillette commercial like that saying all men have something to apologize for or something to correct or not, at the very least, just not acknowledging that, hey, there are men out there who are deciding to be seminarians, Catholic priests, and you know, notwithstanding the ones who've done bad things, right?
Yeah.
We can speak about that enough in the Catholic Church. But the ones who are actually living their life and devoting it to God and serving the people that live in their communities, how about a commercial about that? How about a commercial about, you know, we say let's bring people together. All you're doing by a commercial that was made is dividing us further.
Yeah.
So anyway, what do you feel about, so women and men want so much to have, you know, sexual liberation and kind of the freedom of consequences without owning any kind of sense of responsibility that comes with that. So what I mean by that is, you've got men and women who just want to, you know, sleep around in today's society before marriage, and then, you know, you have so much of the abortion as a as
it's like a disease kind
it's
of thing. Like
it is, but it's a means. But they use it as a means of
or not, no, pregnancy is like a disease, and abortion
right.
is like the cure. Kind
it,
of
but it's a means to they use it as a means to birth control.
Yeah,
and it's like. So we use that as birth control, but then the sense of that's one you could call it a consequence, right? Or
yeah.
responsibility, so to speak, of being a parent if you're having a kid. But what about the responsibility of, okay, we want this sexual liberation, we want this this out there in the world, yet we're surprised somehow that provokes rape culture. We're surprised when these things come up and not to ever condone it, not to ever say that a man has the right to do that. That's not at all what I'm saying. But in a sense of, there's so much of this sex sells and everything in society. How are we surprised that the bad, so to speak, comes with it. Yeah, it's all bad, but some of that can be construed to be, well, it's good. How are we surprised that the bad, such as rape culture or people getting addicted to pornography, how are we surprised that when that comes along, that was part of it?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's kind of like a byproduct of, you know, the idea of, you know, both men and women, you know, just having this idea of, like, you know, hooking up or, you know, not really committing to each other, just kind of like friends with benefits kind of thing. And then, yeah, like people getting hurt, people, you know, not really just using each other, you know. And I think it, you're totally right. I think it comes with the consequences of, you know, having to, you know, people get, you know, I think this whole idea causes people to, yeah, first off, like, these pregnancies to rise and like, kind of like I said, like, people aren't seeing, like, life through
as a blessing,
right? You know, and they see it as like they're trapped, or it's like, oh man, my whole life is ruined now, like,
yeah.
And because of this, like, you see this huge like, just like, it's all about me, it's all about like self gratification, this idea, like, that I don't need to commit to you. I don't, like, I just, it's in it for me, you know? And I think this whole concept is really, honestly, like, being nurtured as kids.
It's
like,
this dopamine, like, hits we get, right? It's
yeah, these, dude. I think this problem is, like, starts from, like, little kids, especially now. Like, I can tell you right now, like, I have a little cousin. He's, like, 3 years old. Like, you give that kid a phone, dude, he knows how to freaking, like, manage every little thing from the phone. Like, he knows every little app, he knows all these different things, and, like, why? Just, like, instantly he starts crying. He just, like, this self-grad, like, here you go, like, shut up, like, here, take the phone, you know, like, yeah, like, be quiet, like, take it. And you kind of get into this attitude. It's like, oh, I'm in a need of, like, I need this credit, like, I need something, oh, here you go, like, it's all about me.
And it satisfies it, right? Yeah, but it's satisfying. A temporary satisfaction. Yeah. It's not joy, and it's not even really happiness, but happiness has had such a diluted meaning to it these days. But it's a temporary happiness, it's not joy.
Exactly.
For things like pornography, it's a very, very simple and minute sense of happiness. And then when it's done, it's a sense of remorse,
yeah,
and guilt,
yeah,
and things like that. So these things of where we want the good of it, at least, you know, I had my spiritual director, my priest has told us that, you know, sins are the perverted, it's us wanting something good that's being perverted in a sense to make it sin, right?
Yeah.
So if it is pornography, or if it's sexual activity outside of marriage, you know, there's something good there. You're wanting intimacy.
Exactly, yeah.
But it's being perverted to do something such as a sin as lust, right?
Yeah.
So it's one of these things where we have to truly find the way in there to follow what God is wanting us to do and what's good for us, as opposed to, maybe, to be honest with you, maybe even just what we want. Even though, yes, people would tell you, well, we're primal beings and we're meant to have sex and all these things and whatever. We're not, obviously not meant to do it the way it's happening right,
yeah,
now. If all the things are happening out there right now have created the Me Too movement and all these things,
yeah,
we're obviously not meant to, we're biting off a little more than we were ever meant to chew.
And the thing is, like, kind of, I like what you said about, you know, like, these desires, they're not bad. I think a lot of people that struggle with, like, lust and their chastity, I think if you really think about it, like, or in any, like, kind of, I guess, you know, one of the deadly sins, right? Sometimes we think, oh, you know, I'm very prideful,
yeah,
you know, so I got to work on humility, you know, or I'm very, like, whatever, lustful, you know, so I got to work on, you know, chastity. But it's actually, like, these things, like, about you that are, quote unquote, your weaknesses, you know, you can use them as your strength. Like, a lot of the times people that are, you know, lustful, like, they're the most people that can, they know how to love, like, mm-hmm, they just need to channel that into, like, the right direction. Or people that are, you know, prideful, like, a lot of times they're good leaders, you know, they just,
right,
you gotta be able to channel that. And I think it's being self-aware, you know, being able, I think that's being able to kind of use those things. But
we had our monthly retreat last night too, and one of the talks, Matt Duncan gave a talk, and yeah, it was about being humble. Well, being humble is not always, it's not always just saying, well, you know, I don't have these talents or whatever. No, it's recognizing your talents,
yeah,
and understanding that, that God gave you those talents. And whenever someone compliments you, say, you know, it's okay to say thank you. Yeah, I felt like I did. I felt like I did well.
Yeah.
And recognizing, because I mean, if you're given these talents and then you just say, well, I'm not good at it, and you don't A, appreciate them, or B, put them to good use, then we truly are kind of neglecting what God's given us, yeah. Right? I had, when I was young, a CCD teacher ask, okay, so if you went to the pearly gates and, you know, they ask you, and God asked you, what did you think of the gifts I gave you?
Yeah.
And your question is, what gifts? Then you really, we really need to think about kind of how we're living our lives. Do we appreciate things as minuscule as that we consider minute as clean water, things like that? But what about things that are a little more intangible, like you know, like the things, the talents and gifts we have, you know, within ourselves?
Yeah, man, and like, what do you think about your CCD teacher? Like, do you see that as, or like, or your, as a kid, like, do you see, who do you think was very, like, kind of hard on you, or like helped you form who you are as a man today? Like, who would you say?
I would say
like CCD teacher, or I don't know.
I would say my dad. So my dad is, he's the fifth of 10 kids. And then my mom was the eighth of nine. So big, very large Catholic families.
Yeah.
37 aunts and uncles. So it was a big family growing up. But my dad, you know, I always told people if they ever asked why I didn't try things going to college, you know, why didn't I ever, you know, I never smoked marijuana. I'm 32 years old. I'll be 32 here April 8th. Nice. I've never tried it in my life. And people would always ask, why didn't you ever just give it a shot? Well, I always said I was more afraid of disappointing my dad than I was than I was getting in trouble with the police, getting in trouble with school or whatever. I was more more afraid of disappointing my dad because it didn't always go great. So. But in that sense, that was who kind of was that for you? Who was your
role? Yeah, I think right on, like my dad as well. You know, he was the fourth of 12 as well. You know, he's a huge family, and he was like the oldest brother. You know, so he kind of took on the role of like, I guess I kind of like the second dad, and so like you can kind of. I think in Hispanic families, like a lot, especially my dad's from, you know, from Mexico, immigrated here, and he was like around my age actually, like very young, and didn't speak an ounce of the language, you know,
of English,
yeah. He didn't speak an ounce of English, and so it was very like just going for it, you know, and like I don't know, like growing up, he, you know, grew up very poor, and so he kind of like taught us a lot of things, but he used to always say, you know, something. That he's like, you know, or at least a lot of my, you know, aunts and uncles used to always say, like, you know, yeah, like, we grew up very poor, but like, I want to make sure, you know, that you guys don't grow up like that. Like, I want to make sure, like, you guys aren't suffering or going through that, you know. And to an extent, I understand, but I feel like my dad wasn't all the way like he obviously tried to protect us from a lot of the things that he had to go through, or like,
sure.
But I think one of the greatest things, like, I'm super thankful and blessed for is like how hard he was on us, you know.
Yeah.
And especially my mom too, like, and I think that's a big problem too, like I think it's a problem with people that have, like, you know, some parents, at least I know some of my friends that, you know, they're kind of growing up and like, man, like I don't have these, like, it's because it's like, because I feel like sometimes parents can worry about protecting their kids, you know, and like trying to give them like all this love was very important, you know, and trying to give them this love, but I think the main goal of a parent, especially like of a man, like as a father, is like to make your kids self-sufficient, you
right.
know, to make them like
in every sense, right?
Spiritual,
physical,
self-sufficient,
and mental, right?
Yeah, and I think sometimes like get caught up in, you know, protecting them and nurturing them, that when it comes to the point where right. they need to like take action, it's like, dude, they don't know how.
There's a grace in, you know, suffering, right? Like
yeah.
we have to suffer in a sense to actually know that we need God. Otherwise we're just doing it by ourselves and we're going to fall on our face one day.
Yeah.
It's the friend you have that was sheltered his whole life.
Yeah.
In that sense. Just a few points we can make. We're about to wrap it up. But a couple things I thought of were, so true masculinity is being a man to the women in our lives that, that we need to be. Not necessarily what men think masculinity is by today's society standards, but what we're actually supposed to be. What, you know, what the movies back in the day said we were. What we know a man to be. I think true masculinity is, you know, being able to be in touch with your feminine side without being an insecurity. Funny enough, I mean, that sounds counterintuitive, but it's evident when you have someone who's okay with that, but they don't have to flex their muscles. You know, they can they can be a little bit have a feminine side and actually be in touch with it.
Yeah,
and then
macho man.
I think Catholic masculinity is knowing we can't do what is meant for us as Catholics and Christians, and that we need God all the time.
Yeah.
And we need Jesus and the redemption we got that was paid for us. And we're never going to live up to it. We'll never actually deserve it, but that we've earned he has earned it for us.
Yeah.
And if we forget that, a lot of the stuff goes out the door. So keeping that in mind all the time is paramount.
Yeah. And I mean, just one more thing, like, I think, just I wanted to share was, you know, being kind of what you said, like, needing God, it's also like being vulnerable. You know, I think sometimes we as men, like kind of what you said, like flex muscles, you know, Mr. Tough Guy, I don't need anybody.
Don't ask
help.
Directions,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, be vulnerable. Be able to go to somebody and say, you know what, dude, I don't know how to do this, bro. Can you help me out? Or, you know, like there's a saying, like, even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Right.
You know? So meaning like you can ask people, you know, like you can learn from others. You can like don't be afraid to reach out, you know, to humble yourself and to really like seek others. And I think just doing that, just being vulnerable and also like just having a plan.
I think not comparing yourself is a big deal, because there's so many people we meet on our paths, right? And it's easy to compare ourselves to, am I as far along with him? I'm a cradle Catholic, but I know there are people who've been Catholic for 10 years who are much further along than I am.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to just know that God's going to put you in the stage of your life to be ready for it. And everybody has different talents. Some people are going to be great, and they're going to be really great at evangelizing other Catholics. Some people are going to be great in a sense that maybe they are a cradle Catholic, but they really delved into it deeper later in their life so that they can kind of speak to the people who maybe are could be a convert or can be, you know, somebody who's never been around the church. Yeah. So
yeah, well, I think that that's the perfect point to end on here. A reminder that we all need each other's help, and we all need God's help in order to truly be Catholic men, in order to truly live out masculinity. So thank you, Tony and Fernando. It was a pleasure having you.
Yep.
Thank you to all our listeners, and we wish you the best, and God bless.